George L.K. Morris and Susie Frelinghuysen, prolific abstract artists since the late 1930s, were a remarkable couple. At the leading edge of the national and international art scene, collectors and intellectuals, they created a Berkshire home that reflected their aesthetic worlds. Upon her death in 1988, Susie Frelinghuysen left instructions that the house and studio and art collection be used for educational purpose. The house and studio opened for visitation in 1998. Visitors can walk through the house with all of its original furnishings and view not only the works of Morris and Frelinghuysen on the walls, but walk right up to the works of some of their more famous colleagues and contemporaries, including Picasso and Gray and many others. Kinney Frelinghuysen is the director of the Frelinghuysen Morris House and Studio in Lenox, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here, and I love the show. It gives us a great sense of the community around Albany and north, south, east, and west. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's always very nice to speak with you, and I thank you very much for coming in and talking about the house and the studio. This is the 20th anniversary of the house and studio being open to the public, and just talk about what that has been like for you over the past 20 years to see all of this come to fruition.
Well, I can't believe it's been 20 years, and I have to say the house looks fresher than ever. It's a gleaming white stucco grouping of geometric volumes that we call the international style. And so for me, when I started, the house was still going strong. It needed a lot of work, and I'm delighted to say that we've done some major repair work that was very difficult to figure out because the art is in the plaster of the walls. So if you want to work on the structure, you can't have all these vibrations. So it was very tricky. So I'm very pleased that the house is in the shape it's in. When you come out of the woods, about a 10-minute walk through the woods, the house is an elongate structure. And it's as if it greets you with open arms. So I'm very delighted to be at this point.
So what was your tell us a little bit about how the house came about and what your familiarity and what your relationship was with it prior to its opening to the public.
Well, I visited there as a little boy with my parents. Susie was my father's younger sister. And then it was kind of my job after she lost her husband in a car accident to get her to take steps to make sure this house was open to the public. And you had to be very subtle about it. But ultimately, she wanted people to learn about abstract art. And she'd say, well, I hear you can take the murals out and give them to museums. And I would just retort that, well, they look better in place. So
yeah,
that's how she took that step to create the nonprofit.
So the idea, though, as you said, you had to be careful in doing all of this. So what was that? That was in the relationship of in dealing with the art world or in dealing with Susie herself?
Well, dealing with Susie herself. I think no one really had a vision as to how this house would function. And so just knowing her as a young adult in college, and then she asked me if I would do it, take it public. And I said, yes, I would. It was just kind of an intuitive response. But I really didn't understand a lot about the art back in my 20s. But gradually, I saw what needed to be done, and I pursued the vision of allowing the house to be the context for the art collection.
What is it like to have an art collection collected by artists?
Well, that's the beauty of it. These artists were very sensitive, and they had a wonderful sensibility. So George L.K. Morris was studying with Fernand Léger in 1929 and 1930, and he got the fire in his belly for modernism, and he carefully went out to these galleries and collected sometimes directly from these avant-garde artists. So every piece we have sort of tells the story of him trying to educate himself to be a modern artist.
And the art does not it does not always reflect. I mean, I guess you can see a thread, but there is an eclectic quality to the collection as well. Is that safe to say?
I think it's a pretty well organized period. I mean, we have the first decade of the 20th century, those Cubist paintings.
Yes.
Then George wanted to become an American modern artist, so he collected his contemporaries as well. So in that sense, there's a lot of variety from the first half of the 20th century.
And the collection over time, how were the two, both Susie and George, how did they collect together, and were they always on the same page in that regard?
I think so. I think. One of the more figurative paintings is a work by Matisse, and I believe George got that as a wedding present for Susie. And I think they were totally on the same page, especially when it came to her coming onto the scene as an abstract painter. She took to it right away, and I think George saw her as an equal talent.
Did she work with him, or did she train elsewhere? How did that work?
She was not an abstract painter, to my knowledge, until she met him. So really, he introduced that work to her. And in terms of the creating of the house, I think they were always working together, which is why so many things seem to be in harmony. I mean, the modern furniture, they actually went out and got these iconic American designers, people like Gilbert Rohde, Donald Deske, Paul Frankel, Alvar Aalto. So there's such a unity and a harmony through the house, and it reflects their being in sync.
So the idea when you opened it up, and it was 10 years from the time she died to the time it was opened to the public, that was really where you were figuring it all out and putting it together as to what the public would see and how that would work, right?
Exactly. That was a time for me to... Well, I had a mentor who was a close friend of theirs. So he made sure that I looked at the art. And finally, art and the house in different moments really opened up to me. They really surprised me. And so that gave me this desire to make it work.
What did you want the public reaction to be in the sense of, let me strike the word reaction. What did you want the public experience to be as they walk through the house, as they are in the home, and yet also are seeing the art?
That's a great question because Susie wanted them to have an intimate experience with this art. And I think modern art, is, even today, 118 years later, is still very challenging for people. So you're in these lovely interiors that are so welcoming, and you're hearing the story about their struggle to gain acceptance in the 30s when it was the Depression. And so the art opens up to you with the comfort of you could be getting a drink at the wet bar, which is under the stairs as you approach the living room, or sitting in the dining room with her murals surrounding you and then the bay window looking out. So you're in this interior-exterior experience that really makes the art comfortable, I think.
And that comfort is something that you feel because we use the word house, but it is a home too, and there's that quality to it. There is that comfort that comes with a home.
There really is, and it's very tasteful, and you feel like you're in a special home that is very well designed.
In looking at the website, I've also noticed of course, like any house, like any home, you have to keep it up. And you've been also doing a lot of work on the structure of the home itself.
Joe, I'm thrilled because these things were challenging, and you don't have to see them. You won't see them. What you'll see is the results. The patios were this beautiful marble. You didn't know that it was the same marble as the interior, and it took years to get it restored. It's a West Stockbridge marble that you can't get anymore because the vein's been exhausted. So the surfaces of the house, we redid the leather floor in the living room. We restored the Kanabe piano. All these textures are no longer distressed, and it's wonderful to be around them. That even the paint job is so gleaming now, but it's what's gone are the bubbles in the stucco and the rust and things like that. So it really is a great time to see the house.
So the exhibit that is currently on display for this year is Clues Behind the Paintings. Tell us a little bit about that and what the mission was behind it.
Well, usually you walk into a museum and you see paintings on the walls, and you see a wall label that tells you what you're looking at. And we decided we found a way to float these paintings on pedestals with acrylic posts so you can walk around and see these wonderful historic labels on the back. And it's almost like you're looking at firsthand at historical letters because they start to tell an important story in modern art.
That's fascinating. So, and how has that changed the presentation? Did that have to go through all the way through the house, or was that just for
We've rounded up about eight of them for the for the pedestals, and you'll see these labels. Three of them say Gallery Kahnweiler. No one today, or not many of the visitors, know Kahnweiler. He's not a household name, but he was the dealer for Braque and Picasso before World War One. And he was a German national, so he was exiled to Switzerland during the war. And basically, he wrote a book. Everything he wrote was at a time when there were no coffee table books about modern art. And it's fascinating his role in putting them on a world stage.
The house is open through October 7th, which I believe is Columbus Day weekend. And it Thursday through Sunday, it's right in Lenox. And when people go, you've painted a beautiful picture, but I'm interested in what you've heard so far this summer from people who have come to the home and have seen what you've done and seen the incredible work, and maybe even from people who saw it when it originally opened and then have come back.
Actually, people do say they've been there long many years ago, and they are excited to be back and see the improvements. The people, when they almost without fail, at the end of the tour, people say that this house has changed the way I see things. It's opened me up to the art, which I'd never understood before. And frankly, if you have that, it can be very exhausting to look at paintings. So we make it so that you get access to stuff. And it's really down-home stuff. It's not there to scare you. It's very of its time.
Well, it's beautiful and it's on display and just a treasure in our region. The Frelinghuysen Morris House and Studio in Lenox, Massachusetts is open Thursday through Sunday through the 7th of October. You can learn more by going to frelinghuysen.org. I am going to spell that. It's FrelinghuysenHuysen.org. Yeah. If you didn't catch that, you can go to wamc.org/roundtable, and we'll have a link that'll bring you right there, along with a tape of this interview. Kenny, thank you so much for being with us. What a great pleasure!
Thank you. Can I plug our Friday painting?
Oh, absolutely! Please plug away.
This Friday we have a painting demos that we do every Friday, and we have Ellie Spangler. And they work on the grounds. We have our own Sean McCusker doing his demo. And this Saturday, I'm doing my color workshop from 10 to 12. And that's an exciting little program to get you comfortable with all the millions of colors that can be generated. So we use silkscreen paper, and it's very fun, and it enhances your intuition. So those are two things that we're doing this
there are hourly
weekend.
Guided tours Thursday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 3, and there's also the painting demos that Kenny just mentioned on Fridays. The color workshop is this Saturday, and you can find out about all of this by going to frelinghuysen.org. Kenny Frelinghuysen, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you back on the show.
Thanks,
thank
Joe.
You.
It's great
thank
to
you.
Be here.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.